A white man? No!
As a white man, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Emily.
And we're back with another Criminal Minds recap. How did I not remember this episode?
I don't know. This is a pretty good one.
This is a pretty good one. And I remembered not a moment of it the entire time I was watching it. I was like, how could I not remember this? What was I doing when this episode was playing? I must have been distracted by something. Yeah. Did I skip it accidentally the last time? I don't know. I don't know how once you've seen this, you could forget it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It is a hole in my brain. It was like watching it for the first time.
It's kind of nice to find those ones, though.
That is true.
It's like a new episode. It's a little refreshing.
I was very engaged. We are discussing Middleman, which originally aired November 3rd, 2010. And we just start right in on the action there.
Yeah.
Right at the beginning.
Yeah. There's a truck chasing a woman through a cornfield, but a man, just like a man yelling her name, which is Meredith, and like taunting her, like not in a nice way.
No, this isn't fun for Meredith, you can tell.
Meredith is not enjoying
this.
And
there's obviously like a group of scary redneck dudes in this truck. It's not just like one guy chasing her in a truck.
No, there's, we see at least two of them. They get out and start hunting for her in the cornfield. While they're like wearing burlap sacks on their heads.
Yeah, like in The Strangers.
Yeah.
It's like a very disconcerting look.
That's, I was going to say like Scarecrow from Batman.
Oh. Well, yes,
but
that
yes,
too.
Like The Strangers, which is scarier. But yeah, just when we think that Meredith might get away, one of the guys pops out and grabs her and we see that there's three of them all together and then they drag her away.
Yeah. It is.
It's like.
It does not leave you with a fun and happy feeling after this opening.
No, it does
not. It's a lot.
No. So then we're back at the office and Garcia has tablets for everyone.
And they're like, whoa.
Case files on them.
Look at these tablets.
Yeah. And everyone except for Reed, who is a troglodyte and prefers paper, apparently.
Naturally.
Hotch is like, where did you get the money for these tablets? And she's like, don't worry about it. There's murder afoot. And she's like, we'll talk about it later. And he's like, yes, we will. And they never talk about it. They
no,
do not.
They don't.
We learn that three women have been found in Indiana, found dead in Indiana cornfields. They were all, as they put it, exotic dancers.
Yes.
Like, oh, that's just a funny term that I have not heard in a very long time.
Yeah, it's very 90s of them.
Yeah. But they were abducted from different counties. After their shifts, they were all raped and strangled and then dumped in cornfields in Johnson County, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
So Reed assumes that that means that they're local to that particular area, not the places where they were abducted, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So they found two different men's DNAs under the victim's fingernails. So they know that they must be dealing with partners, if not a team.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the unsubs are escalating,
yeah.
as they always do. And there's another missing woman named Stephanie, so there's no time to waste.
Yes, it's another...
It's like every week somebody goes missing, and then they get killed after the weekend.
So it's a very tight timeline. They've got less than 48 hours.
Yes. We immediately just get to see that all of the unsubs are white dudes who are doing some meth.
Uh-huh.
They've got Stephanie tied up, and they're just awful. They're just all the fucking worst.
Yeah, yeah, just terrible.
They're all just like sitting around shirtless.
Yes, I don't understand the shirtlessness.
I don't.
Do dudes just hang out shirtless together in basements?
I don't know.
Is that a normal thing that dudes do? Because there's no equivalent for women.
Well, we don't do that.
We don't do anything close to that or anything equivalent to that I can think of.
And like, I don't recall... they're all young, like
college age, like late teens, early 20s.
And I don't know, maybe because, you know, I am not a dude. So maybe the dynamic changes as soon as you have one female in the group, but like,
yeah.
I don't recall any what of my male friends just sitting around. Like, were they just all playing like World of Warcraft shirtless sure. together?
Is it really that hot in this basement that they need to? They're like obviously in a basement, like yeah. a finished basement, but.
But it's like a dude basement. There's yeah. like a bar and uh-huh, neon like lights.
Dartboard,
yeah.
Beer posters.
I don't know.
It's a lot.
I don't know. But anyway.
Look, the dynamics are only going to get worse. And I don't understand why, yeah. even if your shirts were on, you would want to, I mean, maybe because I'm not like a predator or a criminal, why you would want to watch someone else assault someone.
I don't know. Like all of this, it's like, why? It's just gross.
It's yeah.
all of it is gross.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's one like really young looking guy mm-hmm. with like longer brown hair.
Did he look familiar to you?
He did not.
He looked familiar to me and I couldn't figure out why. And then guess who he is.
Who?
Lizzie McGuire's younger brother. Oh, Maddie McGuire.
Nice. Nice.
And I was like, oh no, Maddie McGuire, what are you doing here? You're always such a jerk little brother, but meth and how assaulting a woman, right?
And then there's like the oldest guy yeah. who's like, he has like green dyed hair kind yeah. of, and like, he's just kind of gross and he's got like a gross mustache.
Yes.
And then
the like really faint, thin
yeah.
upper lip.
Yeah, and then there's mustache. A blonde guy who's like the handsome, nice looking one.
Who I guess is our middleman.
The middleman. Uh-huh. But he was, you didn't watch Bones, did you?
No.
He was one of the interns on Bones and he's like the sweetest guy. So it was really.
So another one. Like, what are you doing here?
Like I remembered this episode, but I didn't remember it being him. Mm. And so like every time I was just like, oh, Wendell.
And his and name they don't was give, Wendell.
I know. And they don't give you his name for quite some time
no,
in this episode.
Like
so
episode,
I wrote Wendell every time. So that is yeah. who I am referring to is the blonde kid. But anyway, they wake Stephanie up and it's implied that they're all going to assault her again. Mm. But mercifully, we cut to the opening credits so we don't have
She's
to see
like,
anything.
In lingerie and handcuffed to
a stripper pole that they also
that they
have
also
in the basement.
On a stage that they have in the basement.
Yeah.
And she's blindfolded and.
Yeah, it's
not good.
No.
Things are not looking good for Stephanie.
No. We get our first quote. The herds seek out the great, not for their sake, but for their influence. And the great welcome them out of vanity or need. Napoleon Bonaparte. Hmm. I assume that's from the movie.
The Joaquin Phoenix movie.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I haven't seen it because it looks boring.
Yeah.
So the team discusses the fact that the women were chased through the cornfields mm-hmm. because there's like all the truck tracks and everything.
Yeah.
And they think that they get off on the hunt. They think that the unsubs could either be two dominant personalities mm-hmm. or one dominant and one submissive.
Huh. You're not like two submissives.
I'm like, yeah, those are the options. What?
Like, two submissives just never get anything done.
Like, I don't know, what should we do now?
You go first. Oh, you go first. Oh.
I feel like we should do something, but there's nobody to tell us what to do. I'm like, wow, thanks for this conversation, you guys. It's really enlightening.
Another brilliant insight from the BAU.
And Hotch calls Garcia and he's like, hey, will you look into other unsolved sexual crimes in the area? And she's like, that's what I'm already doing. Plus, I'm running the DNA. Uh-huh. And he's like, ah, yes, yes, thank you.
Yeah, really I guess phoning it in so far
I guess
on this
I
one.
Should have told you to do that. Reed says that it's also interesting that the women had uppers and downers in their systems.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So when they arrive, the sheriff, who is just the worst the from the onset.
An absolute worst human being.
Yeah. Is just reaming out an officer when Hot drives. He is not happy with the FBI coming in because he's like, this is my jurisdiction, blah, blah, blah. So it's going to be like a pissing match right off the bat,
yeah.
which is so annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently this young officer guy that he is yelling at had leaked something to the media.
Yeah.
Hotch asks why the investigation is being kept secret. And it's like, this is a small town,
right?
Where I am assuming it's either the same cornfield or multiple cornfields. They're destroying these cornfields,
right? Okay, I made a note of this later on. Why is nobody talking about the mass destruction to these poor, innocent farmers' crops? Like, yeah, the
but like
amount of money and damage they are doing to these people's livelihoods.
And not only that, but that would get out. Everybody would be talking about this. This would not be a secret investigation.
Right. What is this county called again?
Johnson County, Indiana.
I should have looked this up earlier, but I can't. There's like one big town in Indiana, and that's it, right?
Yeah.
And it's Pawnee.
In Pawnee, Indiana, which I had watched that show all the way through like four times before I found out Pawnee is not a real place. Did you know there's a street in our city called Pawnee?
No.
Yeah, I drove past it the other day, and I was like, I'm buying a house right on the corner so I can put a sign that says, Welcome to Pawnee, first in friendship, fourth in obesity,
right on the sign. Oh, my God.
I'm like, I have lived here for 15 years, and
I've lived here for 10, and I don't know that.
Yeah.
Wow. So this entire county's population is 161,000 people in the entire county.
Yeah. And all of these cornfields are, I'm guessing, close. Everybody would be talking about this.
Yes.
That's not a lot of people.
I mean, the largest city in Johnson County, Indiana, is Franklin, that has a population of 23,712 people. Nice.
Yeah, this would not be a secret.
This is not a secret.
No.
They do have a trampoline park, though, in case you were thinking about. Nice. And it would only take 6 hours via plane for us to get there. So thanks, Google.
On a plane?
That's what it says.
You could drive to Indiana in 6 hours.
Well, we first have to drive to the nearest airport, which is going to add at least an hour onto our travel time.
Wheels up in 30. Let's go to that trampoline park. But yeah, the sheriff says that he didn't want the guys skipping town before he can arrest them. And you're like, okay, sure. You're already super suspicious.
Yep.
But then he... then immediately starts victim blaming.
Yes.
And talking about how, like, these women, they clearly wanted it. They were asking for it just mm-hmm. because of their chosen occupation. Mm-hmm. Like, they just kind of deserved it.
They obviously don't mind being assaulted because they're exotic dancers.
Exotic dancers. Yes. So Hotch shuts him down pretty quickly mm-hmm. and then goes to talk to the missing woman's father and tells the sheriff he's not allowed to come with him.
Yeah.
And he can just watch from the outside for being a big old dick.
Hotch is... So one thing that I've always said Hotch does well is advocating for marginalized people, right? We've seen it time and again when somebody tries to... blame, you know, unhoused people for being attacked or addicts or
He's like, nobody asks for this.
Yeah, he's like, no, absolutely not. I will not stand for this kind of talk.
Yeah.
And so it just, I don't know, another point in Hodge's favor, I guess.
Yeah. So Wendell is watching, he works at a bar and he sees the news report of the three women who had been murdered. And then the brown-haired guy comes in and he's like, you're never supposed
Maddie McGuire.
Yeah, Maddie McGuire. I can call him that from now on instead of the brown-haired guy.
Because they don't give you any names.
It's
so dumb. Yeah.
Except for the one guy.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Maddie comes into the bar and he's like, what have you gotten me into? And he's like, I told you never to come see me at work. He says something about how no one was supposed to get hurt.
Yeah.
I'm like, in your plan of kidnapping and raping women, no one was supposed to get hurt?
They're enjoying all the amazing sex they're giving them.
I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Bunch of idiots.
And well, he says, like, we were just having some fun that the women wouldn't remember. Like, I'm sorry.
No, you're going to remember that.
Yeah.
I don't care how many drugs you give somebody. Right. They're going to remember being...
So you
violated
really,
and
you thought
abducted.
It was okay to just abduct and gang rape someone for several days because you would give them drugs and they wouldn't remember.
Yeah.
So it's like Men in Black, like the little flash, the little flashy light thing. Yeah. Like, no. That doesn't make it okay either, even if that was the whole plan.
Yeah. But clearly they seem to be unaware that Michael, who is the other guy, has been killing these women all along.
Yes. You're
like, what did you think? He was doing.
You think he was just letting them go? Leaving them in the cornfield to walk home?
just absolute morons.
I don't understand. Yeah.
But yeah, Stephanie's father says that he didn't know that his daughter was a dancer. He thought she just waited tables. Mm-hmm. He asks what the team is doing to find her, and Hotch is like, "No fear, sir. We are building a profile." And he's like, "But what are you doing?" Mm-hmm. And he like yells at Hotch for a minute, but Hotch calms him down and assures him that they won't stop looking until they've found Stephanie.
And we find out that she has a 2-year-old.
Yeah, and the little girl's really cute.
And I have an almost 2-year-old, and I was like, no, justice for Stephanie. No one's going to ruin this 2-year-old's life. I will not stand for it.
So Prentice and Reed head to the club where Stephanie worked to talk to the other dancers. They talk to one who says that Stephanie really wasn't wild and really only ever cared about wanting to go home to her daughter. Like, oh, she's such a good mom.
No.
She said that there were two men who came in and invited them to a party, but she said they invited all of us. And we were all like, no, thank you.
No.
So she shows them to the private booths. I want to say they're like bathroom stalls.
Yeah, with no doors on them.
Yeah. And where they had given the guys dances, and Prentice is like, well, this is weird because they wouldn't have been able to see each other and communicate with each other. And she's like, and they both want to see the girl that they were going to take home. And I'm like, I don't really think they care that much. I think it's more of like victim of opportunity.
Yeah, who seems like an easy target. Well, I just loved the beginning of this conversation. They're like asking her questions, and she starts to get really defensive. And Reed's like, "No, I'm from Las Vegas. I don't care that this is your job. I just have to ask you these questions. So if you could just give us some real answers, that would be good."
Yeah.
But then they just they go right off the rails anyway.
Yeah. So like, your boyfriend doesn't care that you're a dancer here.
Yeah.
He's like, no. No. Reed's like, no, I'm from Vegas.
Yeah. They're like, no. So you've obviously gone home with a customer before, and she's like, oh. Yes, that's how I met my boyfriend. They're like, okay, now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah, they're like, we literally don't care what you do.
Yeah, please just answer our questions. But yeah, there's no way that these guys, sorry, that was out of order, but I needed to get that point in. They care what she looks like.
No. They check out the security footage, though, and they're like, how do you keep an eye on all the girls? There's not many cameras here. And they're like, no one's looking out for these girls.
No. We're not known for our good security.
Yeah. They're like, no, we got a guy on the floor. And you're like, oh, okay. That makes them safe, I'm sure. But they do note that the bar was super crowded on the night they were there. And they ask if it was like
a theme.
Well, they say, is it always this crowded? And he's like, no, only on theme nights, which they don't elaborate. And I just had a lot of speculating going on. I was like, what kind of a theme? Is
right?
that like cabaret night?
80s night.
Yeah, exactly. Rossi and Morgan go to check out the cornfield, and they surmise that they must be looking for locals because no one else would know how to find a cornfield in Indiana.
Aren't they literally everywhere?
Uh-huh.
They actually make a point several times of talking about how they are literally everywhere. And they're like,
they're
only
like
a local
60% of Indiana is covered in cornfields. And it's not like you have to like know your way through a cornfield by design. They are all the same.
How would they ever get in and then back out of this random cornfield?
But they decide that they wouldn't let the victims go unless they were absolutely certain they couldn't get away. And they're like, wait, we might be looking for more than two unsubs, which is a possibility they'd already mentioned earlier in the episode.
They talk about it like it's completely unheard
Every time they mention that it could be more than one, it's like it's a brand new revelation. Mm-hmm. Even though they've already discussed it several times in this episode.
No, unheard of. Unheard of.
So Wendell and Maddie go back to talk to Michael. He's clearly the leader of this pack.
He's already shirtless again, and shirtless with her.
Shirtless.
Are we supposed to be? Is this like implying that he's just gotten done raping her?
I think so, because he's like, who's going to tag in? Because he's like putting his belt back on, and you're like, what? Good timing for you guys to show up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did they like wait outside until and then come? I don't know. It's weird.
I don't like it.
I don't like it.
I don't
either.
Like any of it.
Ugh. And like, you're wearing a belt, but not a shirt.
Right?
That seems weird.
And like, I don't know.
Who's the costumer?
If you're raping someone, do you have to get totally naked to rape someone? Isn't that weird too?
I don't want to think about what's happening in this basement. It's terrible. Yeah. Ugh. So yeah, they tell them that the FBI is here, like looking into the case, and they ask him if he really killed those other girls. And he's like, yeah,
duh.
Obvious. What did you think I was doing? Yeah. They were like, we thought you were going to give them some drugs to make them forget everything. And you're like, okay, Joe Bluth. Like, yeah, it's like, there's no forget me now.
These three idiots. Like, these are just.
Oh my God.
I can't even tell you how many times I wrote these idiots in this, because it's just an unbelievable stretch of the imagination that anyone would really think any of these things.
And that, yeah, they're just all so stupid. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Michael's like, so yeah, even if. Like, he's like, is the Maddie's like, all we did was have sex with them. And like, Michael's like, yeah, that's rape.
Yeah.
And you're going to go down if we get caught. So
like, I don't
you
think,
better just stick with me.
I don't think any of those women think you were just having sex with them. Are you kidding me?
Like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
But anyway, Michael says that they covered their tracks well, and there's no way the FBI is going to catch them.
When they like, literally left tracks everywhere.
No, you didn't. You drove through a cornfield.
Every cornfield in Johnson County, Indiana is filled with their tracks.
Yeah. But yeah, then he tells a blindfolded Stephanie that the party isn't over yet. They still have the rest of the weekend. And you're like, somebody please just come shoot them and take Stephanie home.
Yes, I know.
Please. So Garcia confirms that all the clubs were having themed nights when the girls went missing.
Because they have their schedule of events online.
I would respond that isn't, in a bar like that or a club like that, isn't it always a theme night? Because
I mean,
then they clarify what they mean and it's like ladies night, dollar draft night. And you're like, oh, that's not really a theme. Every night would have a theme.
Right. No, my favorite bar in college had a different dollar draft every day.
Yeah, so did mine.
That's like, why you go there.
Yeah. It was always Bud Light, Miller Light, or PBR, which is why I thought I didn't like beer for most of college, just because I was drinking swill for a dollar. But yeah.
They just like have a calendar online that they're just like, oh.
That's what they use MySpace for. but yeah, they say that this confirms Reed's theory that the unsubs were intentionally choosing nights where the bar would be at capacity and they'd blend in easily. And I don't think that fantasy football night at a strip club would bring the bar to capacity. I don't know.
I mean, I
maybe
don't.
If it was a swingers club in Akron, but
it's really hard to say. And I mean, I don't know how many, I guess they're going to different counties and stuff to look for the women. Just seems like a lot of these types of clubs with a lot of events going on.
Yeah.
Is this all there is to do in Indiana? I don't know.
I would
guess
in rural Indiana.
Is there a similar nightlife scene near here and I just am not part of it, so I don't know?
I don't know. You got to go like three townships out and then see what they're doing there.
I refuse to Google
that. I don't want to know. I really don't. But yeah, Reed is over there just looking at the computer and he's like, guys, I've been watching a lot of footage of girls giving lap dances to guys. Like, he's just been doing this for hours, this poor guy. But he notices, he says, he's looking at the footage and he's like, I think I found our unsubs, which is the same clip we saw earlier. So we already knew that those were the unsubs.
Yeah.
And he's like, they seem to be communicating with someone across the screen. And then it zoomed in. And did you see the communication?
Yeah.
Did you know what it was?
No.
It was, so the one guy is getting a lap dance and giving a thumbs down to somebody across the room. It's like, he's like, it's just thumbs downing behind her back.
These poor women.
Like, oh my
already working
God.
So hard for this money, giving these sweaty jerks lap dances. And then can you imagine turning around and one of them's giving
just
you
like,
a thumbs
boo.
Down?
It's like, nope, I'm done.
No.
This is so stupid. No. But then there's a little quick scene where Garcia calls Hotch head hotcho and nobody reacts. Nobody. Like, that's not real. Everybody would have laughed at that. But anyway, then they're like, you know what? I think we're looking for a pack. And you're like, oh my God, we've established this already. But it's news that they're looking for a pack.
Mm-hmm.
So.
We come down, back to the pack.
Down in the basement.
Uh-huh.
The unsubs are making Stephanie pole dance while they're all ignoring her. Nobody's even watching her. They're just having a conversation and she's just dancing. And I was like, this is so demeaning.
Yes.
I just...
It's infuriating.
This whole episode, you're just waiting for them all to die.
Mm-hmm. Because they're the absolute worst.
Yes. So then all of a sudden Michael gets really mad and starts like pulls out a gun and starts shooting the floor near her. And she's blindfolded, so she can't see what's happening. Yeah. He's not shooting at her. He's shooting at the floor.
Yeah, but she can't see that.
That's so terrifying. Yes. That's so
Yeah. And they're all just giving each other these like withering stares. I'm like, can someone please just.
And like Maddie and Wendell are like looking at each other like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. He's really out of control. And you're like, can somebody just please hit him? Mm-hmm. Like at what point when you're those two other guys, are you not just like, well, we all did something bad. Mm-hmm. There's no way we're getting away with this.
Yeah.
Maybe
he did
I should
something worse.
Maybe I should just turn in the guy who did the worst thing. Uh-huh. Why? I don't know. I don't get it. I don't.
And you never will.
Yeah.
You're looking for meaning where there is none.
So Maddie takes off Stephanie's blindfold and tries to reassure her. She asks him to just let her go and says she doesn't want to die. He says that he's going to help her get home. And she's like crying that she just wants to go home and see her little girl and everything. Mm-hmm. And Michael comes in. Because he always just shows up in the background when somebody else is doing. So he has impeccable timing.
He does,
with his scarecrow mask on. Mm-hmm. And he's like, don't make promises you can't keep. And he sends Maddie and Wendell out to the car. Mm-hmm. He's like going to get, I don't know what he's doing.
I don't know what he's doing either. Because they don't take Stephanie
They don't take Stephanie. Because it seems like they're taking her somewhere, but they don't.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know.
Anyway. The sheriff just cannot believe that anyone from their community would be involved in something like this. Because they never can.
Right.
Like, people everywhere are terrible, the sheriff. Mm-hmm. So, Rossi says that the two underlings are being manipulated by the alpha. I'm like, shut up with your alpha male bullshit.
I know. It's been so a lot this season of that.
Yes. And not to underestimate his influence over them, they talk about how the killing only happens on the weekends, and they go to the clubs with the cheap, like on their cheaper nights. Mm-hmm. It's not just that they're the theme nights. And also, none of this started until after the summer ended, which on one hand, why is there so much corn growing?
If it's
like supposed to be early fall, like we're past peak corn season. The sweet corn isn't good anymore. But yeah, so this leads them to the profile.
We believe the men we're looking for are college students. That's why the beginning of the killings coincided with the beginning of the fall semester. This means they're most likely in their late teens to mid-20s, but don't rule out older students who transferred in or enlisted in the military right out of high school. Right now, we're canvassing colleges in the area. College students are impressionable and eager to fit in and find their place in the world. This environment is conducive to the creation of a pack. In a typical pack, not all members are created equally. There will be a dominant one, an alpha, who is most likely the oldest member of the group. We believe he could be from out of state and has most likely committed similar crimes before. Which, okay, I was like, okay, thank God they're saying he's from out of state because he has a very thick southern accent, Michael.
Yeah.
And I was like, where in Indiana would someone have this accent?
I also found that confusing because it's a weird accent, too. Yeah. Like, it's not like bayou, so it's
it's like...
are you trying to mask an accent or are you trying to do an accent?
It was very... I don't know. Yeah. Confusing. The lieutenant will be fiercely loyal to the pack leader. The alpha demands this. He probably comes from a broken home where he felt a loss the dominant was able to fill. And finally, we have the follower, the newest member of the pack. He hasn't cemented his loyalty to the alpha when already he's starting to question his role in the group. It's unlikely this member is privy to the pack leader's ultimate agenda. It won't be long before the dominant realizes the low man is a liability. We need to find this man before the pack eliminates him. They say, well, how do we do that? We drive a wedge between them, amp up the pressure. This is our best chance of finding Stephanie alive.
And like as they're describing each of the different people, they like show you that person. Because they're all sitting in an order in the truck.
Yes. So our like middleman is quite literally
pans
in the middle.
Over to see. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the guys arrive at school because that's where they were going in the truck. They were all going to college
they were going
together.
To class. I was so
Even
confused.
Though, then later you find out that the one driving the truck is not a student.
So he's just been driving them to school.
Driving, giving them a ride.
I find it
chauffeuring them about.
I find it so strange that they're doing all of this, but they're like, all right, fine. As long as it doesn't interfere with my 8 a.m. on Monday. Like, I can't miss my 8 a.m. again.
Yeah.
It just, they're like, oh, they don't do anything Monday through Friday. not because they're blue collar workers with full time jobs, but college students.
Very studious.
Like, they're so busy during the week going to class and studying. Do you know how much free time you have in between classes on a weekday in college?
Yeah.
At the most, you're going to have two or three classes a day.
Doing a lot of studying, right? And extracurriculars. No.
Like, president of a club or, like, working on something with the theater department.
Absolutely not. These guys are in class 12 hours a week.
They're really active young Democrats.
Oh, my
You're
God.
You're telling me they have, like, they're taking 18 credits this semester. They got a lot going on.
Maddie's the lead tutor in the writing lab.
I don't buy it.
No. But, yeah, they see all the cops in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. And Maddie's like, you know what? I'm out. I'm going to leave town. Mm-hmm. I'll never mention you again. I'm just going to go. And Michael looks at Wendell and he's like, you brought him in. It's your job to fix it. And I'm like, ooh. I don't like that. And Wendell's like, all right. After stats. I've got a test.
Let me grab my notebook and as soon as I'm done.
Let me see if I can borrow Tim's notes for Kem and then I will go murder someone. So Garcia has found a DNA hit. They assume it's the Alpha, who is from Louisiana, where he committed a series of rapes, probably with a different partner because there was another DNA or different DNA there. Mm-hmm. But then two local men went missing and then they pinned the rapes on them. So you're like, ah, clearly he just killed his partners and then moved to Indiana, like you do after you commit murder.
Right.
So Hodge tells her to look at local college campuses for students from Louisiana. Mm-hmm.
Like, yep.
How many local colleges are there
in Johnson
County, Indiana? Like in a town, I don't know. We've got a lot of really small colleges around us.
I guess
maybe
so.
Indiana is the same way. I don't know. So Wendell reassures Maddie that everything will be fine as he drives him down a dark back road through some cornfields. You're like, nothing's going to be fine.
Like this, yeah, this seems normal.
Yeah.
Do you want to guess how many colleges are in Johnson County?
Two.
Two.
That'd be my guess.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You're correct.
Are they big ones?
No.
No? Okay. So we're looking at like a grand total of 5,000 students.
Yes.
None of whom are from Louisiana. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Maddie says that he doesn't trust Michael and he's unpredictable. And Wendell's like, but you trust me, right?
I'm like, no, your answer should be no. I do not
really
trust you.
No.
How can you not see what is happening?
He's
here?
Like, no. We're going to ditch the truck and skip town. And they're like, okay. Well, we brought nothing.
Right.
We don't have any of our stuff. So they get out of the truck. Michael pulls up and Wendell punches Maddie, who we learned is actually named Scotty.
Yes.
Not Maddie. Mm-hmm. So I can call him Scotty now. And
Scotty just lays
like,
there.
Yeah, he's like, you're going to learn a lesson in loyalty, and just punches him in the face, and then he falls down. Mm-hmm. And then Michael gives Wendell a bat, and he's like, now you have to beat him to death. And he's like, what? I don't want to do that. And he's like, no, do it.
And
he's
like,
okay.
All right.
I'm like, you just gave him a weapon. Like, he could, why don't you just hit him?
Right? Hit,
like,
Michael,
hit Michael
with the bat.
And then leave
also,
and go to
Scotty,
the cops.
Also, Scotty, I mean, I'm sure it was a hard punch to the face, but Scotty just lays there, and he's like, please don't
murder
do
me.
Like, get up and run.
Yeah, I'd rather not be murdered
trouble. Get back in the truck and lock the doors.
Yeah.
Do something.
But we also learned that Wendell's real name is Chris, and then Chris beats him to death with a bat, like a man who has never hit anything with a bat before. Like, did you know? He, like, takes the bat, and then he holds it way over his head like a club, and, like, Scotty's on the ground, so he's gonna swing. Like, that is not... That's not how you get, like... maximum force from a bat.
Look, they need you to be their alpha.
I was like, this is, have you never played baseball or like,
isn't that all they do in Indiana?
A bat? I think. Isn't that where? No.
No, Field of Dreams. Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah. It's one of those corn states. I guess that was like Iowa, wasn't it?
Those corn states. Exactly.
I have driven across 80 multiple times on my way out west, and they are corn states. There is nothing there but corn. But yeah, or maybe, what was I thinking of?
I don't know. I don't even know where.
A field of, I don't know. Whatever. I was like, I was going to say Bull Durham, but it was a Field of Dreams that I was thinking of. I don't watch sports movies. Anyway, a combine clearing the field the next morning happens across Scotty's body in just the most gruesome way possible.
Yes.
Like, he's just like minding his own business, driving through, and then there's just blood everywhere.
These poor farmers.
And then it's like showing the grinding gears.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Scotty's body's completely mangled in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see Chris throwing up, dealing with the aftermath of killing someone. Mm-hmm.
He's still in the bloody clothes. I'm like, change your clothes, yeah. Chris.
Do some laundry, Chris.
This is gross.
this is the only time he's chosen to wear a shirt. It's when it's covered in blood. But yeah, the sheriff says that they've ID'd the body. I'm like, how?
From what?
How? Did he happen to have his wallet in his back pocket?
Well, did
that
you
didn't
see there was
mangled?
Like one hand sticking out of the combine unmangled? So they must have gotten some
fingerprint in him.
I can't believe that Scotty would be in the system for something, though. So
yeah, because he said it was like arrested for marijuana possession charges later.
Yeah,
but yeah. So like, it seems like dumping him in a cornfield was pretty fucking stupid, because now they've ID'd him, and now that they know who one of them is, it's not going to be that hard to tie him to other people.
Right.
These are not guys who have a lot of friends. I'm sure you could ask around this tiny, tiny college and be like, hey, who does Scotty hang out with? And they'd be like, Chris and this weird old man who drives them to school in his truck.
I know. Michael does seem like he's like 35. He doesn't seem college student age at all.
No. Like,
they all sit in the front seat of the truck together, and it's super weird.
Always in the same order. It's so weird. Anyway, so
Chris is not looking good.
Yeah. They wonder why the body was dumped so far from their normal dumping grounds. And they guess that they saw the patrol cars and got spooked. Mm. And the sheriff's like, that's not possible. We were very well hidden. Like, how?
Where?
He's like, we parked on the edge of the field. Like versus the middle of the cornfield? What?
Wait, where else do you surveil the street from? Like, you're hiding in the what? I don't understand what's happening.
I don't either. It doesn't make any sense. But Morgan's like, maybe they heard about the patrols from someone ahead of time, like implying that there's an inside job.
Mm-hmm. Rossi does this really great. He goes over to the blinds of the conference room and like slowly raises them so we can look out at all the people on the station.
But yeah, Scotty was apparently quite the little shit and never fit in, which made him particularly vulnerable to this alpha's manipulation, they say. There are no students from Louisiana at Ernstrom College, which is where Scotty went, or at least that area of Louisiana. So Rossi's like, look at the whole state. Fort Wayne to Evansville, which I looked it up, and those are directly opposite from each other, like on the diagonal in Indiana. And I'm like, can you do this with every state, Rossi? Was he looking at a map, or like, does he just know?
Those are the only two big ones.
Yeah. Scranton to Pittsburgh. And it's like, I don't, is Fort Wayne a relatively known city?
I guess, I don't know. Like, I mean, what else
I know
is there?
About it because, like, that's where my boyfriend used to live when he lived in Indiana. So, like, that, but, like, I've never heard of Evansville. I'm like, then I'm like, hey, did I know much about Fort Wayne? Like, if somebody said Fort Wayne to me before, would I immediately have gone, oh, yeah, in Indiana?
I don't know. That's a really good question. I'm trying to think what places in Indiana. No, I feel like I know.
Indianapolis.
Right. Well, yes. Gary, Indiana.
Yeah, naturally. Uh-huh. Muncie. Yeah. Only places that they've mentioned on Parks and Rec that are real places.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm like, Evansville? I've never heard of Evansville. I had to look it up.
Yeah.
And then it just made me think that Rossi is just like a geographic savant.
Maybe.
You can just
he
do
is.
That for all states. Corner to corner. But yeah, so, yeah, they we head back to the basement, to the pack. I guess it's not a pack anymore.
Not a pack anymore.
Yeah.
Guess you need three for a pack? It's just a team?
It's just a team now. He seems unbothered by everything. He just keeps being gross to Stephanie.
But Chris
is, like, watching him through the basement window.
Chris is, like, gray and sweaty.
Yeah.
And just not looking good.
And he's sitting outside, and then he pulls out his phone and calls the sheriff. But he doesn't say anything. Mm-hmm. The sheriff's like, hello? All right, fine. Just hangs up. So they, and then like as soon as he like hangs up the phone, Michael appears in the background again because he's always just lurking timing. In the background. And he's like, "Who you calling there, buddy?" So he redials, realizes that he called the cops, mm-hmm. and he's like, "Why'd you have to go and do a thing like that?" Oh, no. So Garcia calls and says she needs to talk to the team really, really alone. Mm-hmm. So they all go in the conference room and tells them that the sheriff's son, Chris, goes to Ernstrom College and has a sealed record that she opened and it's blank. But also, like, is that a burner phone he was using, or does Chris's dad not have his own phone, his own son's phone number programmed into his phone?
Well, he called the office because they asked the sheriff's office, and he has to transfer to the sheriff.
Yeah, because it was like, wait a minute. Yeah. And doesn't even have his own son. Hotch goes into the sheriff. He asks about his son. Hotch says that he's a bully and probably treats his family the way that he treats his officers. He asks how long ago it was that his wife left him and accuses him of abusing his son. And then he's like, and so we'd like your help finding him.
Yeah.
Like, you really burned that bridge and then expect him to be able to walk across it, didn't you?
You've been hitting Chris, and he started hitting you back, hasn't he? You're the leak in your own department.
Like, so maybe yell at him later, but first be like, we think that your poor innocent son has been manipulated by this monster. Mm-hmm. So that the guy's like, oh, he has been manipulated by this monster, and then yell at him later.
No,
we do it opposite in this episode. Mm-hmm. So Sheriff Salters repeatedly denies that Chris would be involved in any of this until they manage to link Chris to Michael Cosina. And then he's like, yes, Michael is a bad guy. And he did manipulate my son. He says he like caused the bar fight that Chris was in or something.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, quit making excuses for your kid. So they decide to send in Prentice to be the negotiator because
they
won't
know how to talk to a woman.
These men wouldn't know how to negotiate with a woman.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they'd know how to negotiate with anyone, honestly. Like, it could be the same with just another alpha male because he's like, I get that Michael's supposed to be the alpha of that pack, but he's also a complete tool.
That's what I don't understand. Like, how do you become loyal to this idiot?
Yeah.
He does not exude strength or like brains or
no
anything.
Nothing. He's not good at anything. He's just an idiot. Michael says it's time to leave and they're going to get rid of Stephanie. He hands Chris the gun and Michael unties her and tells her that nothing's going to happen to her. Let's just go. So then both of them snort some more meth, which I think we've learned from the show typically makes things go more smoothly when you have a plan.
Everybody knows what to do once they've had a hit of meth.
So they like snort all this meth, grab Stephanie and run out of the house straight into the horde of cops. Like they didn't even look outside first, just out of the basement straight in.
Well, there's no way anyone's onto them yet.
They're all methed up. So mm-hmm. Prentice is like, hey, Michael, you're not getting out of this. And everyone has their guns pointed at you, not Chris, mm-hmm. because he's a cop's son and nobody's going to shoot him. Mm-hmm. And tells Chris that Michael killed his last team. And if he leaves with them, he's just going to kill him too. And Chris mm-hmm. is like, what?
Chris is like, not me. I'm different.
Yeah. No, you're not, Chris. Michael is like, you know what? Neither one of us is getting out of this. And then he points his gun at Chris. Mm-hmm. And the sheriff shoots Michael like 14 times in the chest, just so many times.
And poor Stephanie, still blindfolded. More gunshots going off right next to her. No idea what's going on.
This poor girl. Mm-hmm. Chris like is like, I'm never like, you're not going to do this to me, dad, or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, and like points the gun to his own head. Mm-hmm. And then the sheriff shoots him in the arm. So he drops his gun and they take
him
away.
Ouch,
and
you're like, that really hurt. He's
like, why? And he's like, I had to.
Yeah. We're like, who's asking for it now, sheriff?
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, so you can shoot someone in the arm.
Exactly. So, well, that sheriff isn't always with them. Maybe he's a much better shot than the BAU.
I'm like, but you could if you wanted to. In a situation where you could very, very easily disarm someone with mm-hmm. one shot mm-hmm. or like stop them, incapacitate them with one shot. You are capable of doing that in this universe, and yet no one has ever chosen to do that before this moment. they, you know, bandage him up. Here's the thing, though. They, like, put the bandage on his arm, because mm-hmm. you see it, mm-hmm. and then They put him in the cop car. Mm-hmm. He's been shot in the arm. He still needs to go to the hospital. Like, the ambulance would still take him straight to the hospital with the police officer.
Yes, he'd be handcuffed to the gurney.
With him.
I've seen Grey's Anatomy.
Exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh. Like, why are you putting him in the cop car? This man has been shot in the arm. Yeah. He needs medical attention. But, yeah, sure. Anyway, Stephanie and Amy, the little girl, get their nice reunion in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, this poor woman.
I know.
Like, I wish they could drug you so you forgot what you've been through for the last few days, because just awful. Hotch goes in and tells the sheriff that they're leaving, and the sheriff's like,
I don't know what I did
I keep
wrong.
Asking myself why my constant abuse and bullying turned my son into a murderer. Mm-hmm. And Hotch is like, you know what? I run a tight ship at work, but at home, I'm never there, so I don't know what's going on. But I try to be really compassionate with my son. And your son's really going to need you to be a good dad. And the dad's like, yeah, well, I'm going to do that by getting him all the legal help I can to get him off so he's not punished for this crime appropriately.
He's like, wow, Hotch is giving parenting advice. Huh.
He's like, I know what you're going through because my son is 5. Mm-hmm. And he's never really done anything that bad. And really, my dead wife's sister raised him.
And never around.
Only last week, I talked to him for the first time in months.
This is such a weird epilogue because they're going to such lengths to show us that Hotch is a good parent, right? They're trying so hard with this speech to make Hotch seem like a good parent, when all you would have to do to show us he's a good parent is to show him being a parent.
Being a parent. But and it they all don't comes off as so disingenuous because it's him like all on his high horse about his parenting while he never, ever mentions his
so
child.
So where is Jack right now? Yeah, you know?
Yeah, like, I get it. He has a job and he has to rely on family to help raise his son and stuff.
Me
but
too.
But they never show us, other than last week's episode, which was the first time since, like, the last season.
Yeah.
That we had seen even a glimpse of Jack.
Yeah, he never even talks about him. I mean, think about how often I talk about my kid to you at work.
Yeah.
An obnoxious amount.
That's what parents do.
Right. But they never bring him up ever.
Yeah, like Reed just like wanders around telling everybody about the history of Halloween, but Jack, like Hotch never tells a funny story about Jack.
Hotch isn't like, oh yeah, Jack is going to be Spider-Man.
Like over the course of the episode, I bet Prentice talks about Sergio more times at work than Hotch ever talks about Jack.
I would believe you.
It never comes up.
Yep, that seems correct. That seems correct.
It's so weird. But anyway, then we get our end quote, which is, without heroes, we are all plain people. And don't know how far we can go. Bernard Malamud. Malamud. I don't know. I wanted to say Malamute, but that's the dog. So.
Bernard would be the name of a Malamute.
It would be. I'm going to get one and name it Bernard.
Bernard Malamud the Malamute. So statistics. Can I start there?
Sure.
I gave us 3 men subs, 3 white men. So for season 6, we're 8-2, 80% white men. Overall, 115-25, 82% white men overall.
You'd think a 3-fer would really bump that up.
Yeah. I guess we'll have to see what happens next week. I mean, our overalls usually hover on average close to 80-85% white men. Though season 3 was 88% white. But yeah, the average has been around 80-85% white men. So for this profile, how would you rate it on a scale of 1 to 10 as far as accuracy, helpfulness, and plausibility?
Let's see. I mean, it's pretty accurate because they literally showed us who they were talking about as they described them.
And it's plausible. But it is not helpful because they find a body and ID it. Like, they didn't find the body through the profile.
No.
They gave them the body.
Yeah. And they already knew, like, the DNA hit let them know it was somebody from Louisiana.
Right.
And the fact that they knew
using police work to look for someone from Louisiana didn't help them.
I guess maybe it helped them find Chris because they were looking for, actually, all they were really looking for is somebody who had, like, a history of violent outbursts.
Yeah.
Who went to that particular college, which they only knew about because of the body. So basically, they never would have found Stephanie if they hadn't dumped that body in the cornfield.
Right. So like a four?
Yeah. And how did he get rid of the other? Oh, it was Louisiana. He probably just dumped him in a pond and the alligators ate him.
Yeah. It's not hard to get rid of a body in Florida or Louisiana.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, accurate, sure, but it didn't help them. It never helps it them never actually helps find them. Anyway.
It really doesn't.
The next episode is Reflections of Desire.
If I am remembering this one correctly, I think this one is like super off the rails.
Oh boy. Excellent.
Yes.
All right. Well, wherever you're listening, be sure to leave a 5-star review. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at The Unsub is a White Man. Our merch is on Redbubble. If you get any, make sure you tag us. We'll share you to our stories. Our theme music is composed and performed by Nate Youngblood, and the podcast is produced by Nate Youngblood. Thanks, Nate.
And until next week, we'll definitely be wearing masks.